graph. All right. So we'll call to order the City Council work session for Tuesday, April 22nd, 2025, and move to topics of discussion. Number one, cannabis business regulation discussion.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor and Council Members. So this was brought up to by Council Member Buescher and Mayor Heineman. They actually requested that we discuss the Ordinance 2412, which was adopted last November, regarding the regulations for cannabis businesses. And reason two is to just go over the regulations for the new council members, just so you understand what was actually approved in that ordinance, and then also possibly maybe to review some of the regulations and consider some changes. So again, like I stated, November 12th was when the Ramsey City Council adopted the ordinance that went into effect on January 1st. Some of the ordinance regulations include the following. So number one, the number of retail locations is two. So Minnesota law requires at least one retail location per 12,500 residents. The Ramsey City Council So with that, Ramsey is required to have at least two retail locations. Previous council did adopt the minimum number of locations, which was required by state law. So what they did is, again, two locations, one retail operation is allowed in the core. It doesn't have to be in the core, but they really thought they wanted to make sure that there is only one in the core area rather than both locations in the core area. So they just limited it to one in the core. And then the other ones can be in pretty much any of the zoning districts except residential zoning districts. But they did want to limit or have some type of distance between them. So what they came up with was 1,000 feet. They just didn't want stores right next to each other. So that's what they adopted. The second one was the zoning district. So it is allowed in all of the commercial and industrial zoning districts. Buffers. So state law does allow the local government to prohibit the operation of cannabis businesses within, you know, certain like schools and parks and that sort of thing. They did give specific numbers in the state law. So former council did adopt those regulations. So what it says is they prohibit the operation of cannabis business within 1,000 feet of a school, or 500 feet of a daycare, residential treatment facility, or public park that is regularly used by minors, including playgrounds and athletic fields. And in your packet, I also attached that map. We put together that map on where those buffer zones are. The other one that I forgot to put in the staff report was the hours of operation. So local governments can prohibit the hours of sales. So previous council approved essentially the same hours as liquor store sales. That's just what they I think it was unanimously voted on that. So what that says too is all the hours of sales in Ramsey code regulates the hours for all the cannabis businesses. That even includes like the lower potency of edibles, which a lot of our gas stations sell those right now. I think we have like 12 registered low potency hemp sellers in the city of Ramsey. So they need to follow those same guidelines or those same hours. So I know that is something that has been discussed before. Do we take out that portion of it with the regulations of the lower potency hemp edibles and make different hours for them versus the adult use cannabis? For the municipal cannabis stores, the previous council did not support that, so that was something that was just never discussed. But talking about municipal cannabis stores, there are some surrounding cities to us that are going after that. I know Anoka is and Elk River is. But one thing to keep in mind that the munis can't be counted towards the number of required retail locations. So if you have a municipal license, you have that, and then you also have to allow for the approved in our code, two extra retailers. that's about it. Now, a little bit of the process, though, I do know that if you want a license, they apply through OCM. And what happens is OCM then sends verification forms to the city. So since it'll come to me or Todd, planning manager, and we basically almost like a zoning letter, we verify it if they can go into that spot or not. And then we just have to send that back to the state. And if they get their license, then their next step would be to come into the city. We do require a city registration. It's not a license, but a city registration. And then they're off running to get the building permits or whatever they need to do to open up their business. So.
Okay.
That's about it. So just now, I need to have council just to discuss it and provide staff with direction.
Michael.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just as a point of clarification, I think what you said is the city has to have two.
Yes.
To allow up to two.
Up to two.
We don't have to have two. If nobody applies, we don't have to have any.
That's correct.
Okay. Yep. Just wanted to clarify that.
Yep.
Other thoughts? Kirsten.
So Ryan and I talked about this and brought it like together. I think we wanted just to maybe make sure that we understood everything and everything was very clear before it started coming to us, and we were potentially in a position where we didn't know what was going to come out of it, especially now with OCM having actually made it to a point where they are starting to license people or getting nearer to that. And we had discussed maybe not so much interest in municipal dispensaries, but I personally think that maybe we should at least like talk about what that would look like so citizens have an understanding. Since it wasn't discussed before, maybe just like said no, doesn't mean that we need to change our mind. It's just like something that's good to know, because obviously that revenue would then be able to go towards our citizens on top of the tax that each dispensary itself would then bring into the city. Obviously, then there would also be us having to manage it and having the staff that are capable of managing it, right? So there's obviously different issues with it, but I just wanted to make sure that we're at least discussing it so we have folks understanding, you know, why or why not. Maybe we're not choosing to go that route. And then just also, you know, having heard from some folks that maybe there's going to be some difficulty getting access to a space that can host their dispensary, and whether or not be because of where we've zoned it, but maybe also the people that have those properties currently are not interested in having a dispensary. So I just want to make sure that since it's something that is happening, we are actively engaged in it, making sure it makes the most sense for our community, and then also supportive of the folks that are already currently running maybe a business here that have done good work, and we can kind of maybe work together to make sure it's like navigated well, and then communicating with our police department to make sure that they feel like they're ready, they're prepared for something like this. Not saying that it'll make an uptick in crime by any means, but obviously it will be a different type of traffic and foot traffic to that location, and it could potentially bring some issues. So just wanted that to say that, and thank you so much for bringing all that to us, though, and kind of catching some of us up maybe that weren't here in the last council and understand where they were coming from with those decisions and how to proceed forward.
I have a quick question. If, let's say, so you said the process was somebody would apply. If they got their permit, then they would come to the city?
Yep, so so what they do is they apply with the state. They don't necessarily have their license at that time,
yeah.
But what the state does is notify us saying this person wants to go here.
Yeah.
Is it okay for them to go there? So, yeah.
So what do we have for local controls to maybe choose? Do we have any ability to accept? Like, let's say 12 people apply and they all notify the state. They're planning on coming into Ramsey. Do we have any local controls to pick and choose? What does that look like?
We don't. So that's something that we haven't discussed, and it is very important, because let's say we did get these 12 all at once. Mm-hmm.
thing is the city has to sign off on that. I think we have 30 days, and if we don't sign off on it within that 30 days, they're automatically approved.
Right.
So we do need to have some type of process of how we...
And that's kind of what I want to focus on. I mean, I am not a cannabis person. I've been in the military since I was 17, never done anything, and we can get on the morality side of things and talk about that, but I think in the end, it's something that's coming. It's the law has been passed. It's going to come. So my question is, how do we as a city ensure that the best group is here in that space?
Right. Yeah.
We have a say. I think our say in the situation is purely zoning. Is this location in an area that...
So are you saying it's first come, first serve? First person to apply gets one of the spots?
I know that's how it seems like that's the way that it's going. It's kind of a first come, first serve.
That's a path of least resistance. It's going to get you the least trouble.
Yeah. And that's... The state is handling all of that.
Right. And it's a cram down.
They're aware, the state is now aware that we only are going to allow for two.
Yep.
So I did have to fill out a questionnaire for them, so they have that.
So my concern is, let's say there's a large organization with a lot of money that's trying to acquire all the licenses as soon as possible. That might be a good thing, because maybe there's standardization and things of that nature. But anytime there's a monopoly, then we also lose control. And so I would rather see it not. And maybe this is a moot point. But I would like to see if we could have some controls over that and just say if Marlboro and Camel, I don't know, I'm just making up two brands, you know, if they have the money and the lobbyists to get there first, then we're just stuck with these two corporations coming in. We don't have any local controls to prioritize residents, I would like to look at whoever's applying. Like, do they have a history? What is their history like? Do they have a liquor store? Have they been fined before? Have there been issues where they haven't followed the laws? Have they been cited? Like, I personally, if it's going to happen, I would like to be able to have some control and say this is a person or a company in good report. So am I hearing that we don't have that ability?
No. You know, that vetting that's supposed to be going on, that's done on your liquor regulation and so forth, is being done entirely by the state.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the thinking is that they'll do it right and the cities won't.
Mm-hmm.
And, Ms. Mayor, your concern about consolidation of licenses is very well taken. That's exactly what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a little bit of discussion we had earlier today, but it was... Even in the case of municipal licenses, where people are trying to go and get those kinds of licenses for the cities, those are being bought. And I went back and did a little more research on that. It's the same thing. It's a national consolidation, essentially, that's going on with a dozen, maybe, major players.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds funny to say that I want to support local small business when it comes to municipal marijuana, because it's just what, but it's true. If it's going to go to somebody, I'd rather it be somebody with a local that's tied, that has a good reputation, rather than a corporation coming in and just owning it. But so that's kind of where my concern comes from. So with alcohol sales, and I should know this. I understand the process of requesting to build and things, but do we have the ability, like if if G. Willikers wanted to open up another shop, we have the ability to say no to that.
You do.
But not with municipal marijuana. Or not with recreational marijuana. We can't vet them like we can a liquor store.
No. You know, just in a word, it's much, much harder to do. A liquor store, you've got a lot of discretion.
Yeah.
It's not infinite, but it's a lot of discretion, and that's just because when prohibition got repealed and so forth, one of the things that was retained was the right of municipalities and governments to really, it's arbitrary and capricious. Is that you can go about as far on that line as it's possible for a city to go if it's done in the context of municipal liquor regulation.
Okay.
Exactly the opposite here. I mean, you've got virtually no discretion here. And what little protection, I would call it, that you have here, like distances between, keeping, we will allow you to keep these away from schools and so forth. That pretty much is the attitude of this legislation. That there's just no trust whatsoever in local units of government on this. The industry came in and said, they'll just not want it, they'll refuse it. The only way we're going to make this important service happen is for the state to do a cram down, and that's what they did.
So the state has removed the discretion of the cities?
Virtually all of it. It's, I don't know how else to describe it. And it's not like it's unimportant, as you can see, it's not like it's unimportant for the city, mm-hmm. or that the city might not have some concerns about certain areas and uses. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. The assumption is that the state will vet, the state will do the licensing, the state will do whatever necessary investigation that has to happen, and they'll do the vetting. Do I believe that personally? Well, I'm not supposed to be cynical.
Yes. Dan?
Hey, just out of curiosity, because it doesn't necessarily relate to this better. Are our police department, are they able to do like the be over 18 kind of checks, like alcohol 21, have minors try to buy it and fine them if they don't?
They have to.
They have to. Okay.
Yeah. That's part of the requirements.
But it's not the same. I mean, you don't have the leverage in a situation like this that you would have in a liquor license, where you go, or tobacco, for example, another case where you go in and you do that kind of stuff and you've got discretion in terms of the kinds of penalties you'd want to impose. It's like any other crime. And, it's a good thing they don't have anything else to do.
I think it's one compliance check each year for each business.
Yeah,
and that includes, and that includes the lower potency hemp edibles as well.
So it's similar to trying to buy a pack of cigarettes.
Yep.
You'll send a UC in and they'll attempt to buy and report.
Yep, same thing we do with the alcohol purchases, tobacco, and then now this will be a third one that we'll do.
Okay. Kirsten?
I will say that the application process is very strict and tight, and that the Office of Cannabis Management does do a really good job of making sure that these folks that are already open with what they have are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And once again, like working within reality, like that's not something that we can control anyway, so no need to, unless someone wants to like take this to the legislator. But, I'm wondering if we want to open it then, instead of just saying we're going to allow two, we're going to allow more in case we want to see certain things within our community from certain folks or what have you, or, we wouldn't constrict any other business. We wouldn't limit any other business to two. This is just because of what it is. And we've seen it be successful in other states. It's doable. And I also don't think that Ramsey's going to be some sort of marijuana haven for anyone by any means, where we're suddenly going to see 17 people try and come in. I think we'll be safe with more than opening up to more than two and not having a ton of folks. Because it's also going to be like oversaturation, right? Like there's not going to be wanting to be a ton of dispensaries here because there's going to be a lot of competition. And then the market itself is going to be tough when it first opens because there's not going to be enough marijuana for all of these places to even sell. And there's new regulations coming out on the level of potency, on the edibles and what edibles can look like and things of that nature. So, it's just going to be very ever-shifting. And so, like, what can we do within our realms of what we can do is, I think, what we need to discuss, I suppose.
My goal is not to increase the number from two to more. Maybe that's a discussion we have at some point after two open, and maybe there is lines out the door, and it's like, okay, we could, by opening a third, we could disperse more people and whatever, but so I haven't thought that far through, so I can't really speak on that because I'd have to think about that. But my point of the discussion was, what local controls can we have to make sure if we're doing it, we do it right, and we bring in the right partners? Not bring in the right partners, but work with the right partners. And it sounds, as of right now, you're saying not much.
Not much. Which, it is what it is. But, not much.
So knowing that was the conversation, I guess.
Crazy.
It's
It's crazy that in the... Yeah, because, I mean, I think we're going to see the best organized, biggest funding, most funded groups have the best shot at consolidating as much business as possible.
Mr. Mayor, it's already happening.
No, I know. Yeah, I was at the North Metro Mayors, and we had... We learned from groups that there's active groups lobbying and building entire networks out to consolidate. It's just, I wasn't aware that there was no backstop to kind of curb some of that at the city level.
I never thought I'd see this, but yeah, that's true. And so many of these are outstate companies. And, you know, how do you organize in a way so that you can know that you don't have RICO stuff going on and mm-hmm. criminal stuff going on? It's very hard to regulate on the state level, and people
yeah.
aren't even really having those conversations yet.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Kirsten?
They are having that conversation at the state level because they purposely, during when they were doing the social equity license, people were attempting to buy people, essentially, big groups were, that had these backgrounds. Not felony levels, just to let you all know, too. No one with a felony can own or manage a dispensary. But with those backgrounds, they were bigger groups, especially out of state, like you mentioned. And the state OCM was trying to make sure that they were prohibiting that, especially from people entering the lottery more than once. So if they were seeing people with same kind of backgrounds or addresses or locations and things like that, then they would make sure they took them out. Obviously, we know that the social equity lottery at its initiation didn't go through well, right? But I think that's a discussion. I'm not saying that it's 100% prevented. I do know that they're trying to prevent that. But I think we do see a lot of people out of state. And they already understand what they're doing if you're coming out of state, right? You're coming from a state that, like Colorado or something that's already opened up. Those are the people that have the formula down. They're going to be able to come in and do it well. And then we're also, you know, if you want to think about internally in the state too, tribal nations have had the opportunity to have dispensaries for months now, and they have it down as well. I haven't heard anyone attempting to get a license off reservation currently. Not all of them have them, but that's just also a possibility.
Mr. Mayor, if I just make one comment respectfully on that. The OCM is doing a very valiant effort to try to stay on top of it. But the way it was described, the group of the attorneys that were dealing with the issue talking about it was like trying to fill a bathtub with a fire hose. I mean, there's just so much, and there's so much money, you know, which is always a driver in these things involved. It's incredibly hard for them to get ahead of it. So it is what it is. Again, when I said, you know, police will be there. That's all I can say.
Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I understand we can't regulate, but I do echo what the mayor was saying, just in that if we're going to have it, it'd be nice to be able to support our local businesses. I see, you know, Nick online here too, but, you know, he does a great shop in the core, you know, great businessman, great person. You know, if we could somehow help our local businesses that have already been successful here, I don't know if there's any way we could do it. I know we can't decide, but at least to try to promote, like, you know, get the application quick if you're going to do it. But I mean, I would just echo what you're saying. I mean, there's a way we could support our own local businesses first.
Yeah, I think whether you agree with it or not, the idea that some large corporation is going to come in and swallow up everything, I think is, I don't know, I would rather see it go to a local business that has a good track record in the community. So it's disappointing to hear that's where we're at right now. Is there, so I guess for clarification, as of right now, once you have the ability to apply for the permit, does that already happen?
Yes, for the business license, or for the license to the state, yes.
And no one the state hasn't been notified yet, or the city hasn't been notified yet of anybody?
I think they just closed them last week.
Okay.
I think it was when the license just closed. It was like the 18th.
I think it was March, sometime in March.
They had a new
timeline. Oh, they had a new one?
Timeline.
Okay.
Yeah, they had a real.
Do we know when the earliest we'd get notifications from the state about
What I just read with the memos that I get, it would be about June.
Okay, so sometime in June, I'm guessing with how large this is, we're going to see notices from the state saying you have X amount of people who are intending to move in. So let's say we get notices saying there's 9. we do have control to only let two in.
Right.
So what do we do with that information that there's nine? There's
they would still have to find someone to buy a place from, right? And,
right.
And get those. So it's going to be like your
so is it the well, first one to get the business.
Yeah, it's my understanding when they apply for their license, they have to have an actual address that they're going to.
Location.
Yeah.
Okay. Michael.
The state already knows that we only want two, right?
Yes.
So. Yeah.
So will the state just send us two?
That's what I wonder. If they would ever send us more than.
Yeah, I'll have to. I can verify that.
I would like to know that because if they send, the state knows we can have two, and they send us nine. Then where does that leave us?
Or they constantly just keep sending us the 20th one and 20th.
And is it just first one to break ground or first one to sign a lease? Or
Yeah, I'll find that out. I'll ask
them. They send you two.
So they'll choose.
It's worth finding out. But they choose. And as I understand it, it's essentially first come, first serve.
Yeah.
So they'll have their list, and they'll say, you've got two who have identified locations.
That's my understanding.
And they'll just, that's who you get.
Because you have to have security plans and all that prepared already when you go to apply. It's pretty detailed.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not quite the Wild West.
Any other?
When we see this lobbying money, I haven't seen any of that. It's kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
Throwing this money all over. Oh, don't say that out loud. Okay.
Okay, so for residents who would like to further discuss this, who would be the best person?
Myself.
Okay.
Send they can contact me.
Okay. All right.
And it'd be from a, hey, with this location work. I mean, I don't know that we're in a position where we're looking to lobby statute changes or anything of that nature.
Yeah.
Number one, they won't take it on at this point in session. But,
right.
You know, if it's a, what does your code say and would this location work and things of that nature. Definitely reach out to staff. We can answer those questions.
Okay. Any other?
Are we able to give him a minute?
Yeah.
Is he the smoke shop?
Oh, yeah.
Nick.
He's in a lot of pink, isn't he?
What's that?
Like his zoning.
No, I think he's currently fine where he's at.
The daycare is right there?
It's not a dispensary, though. I guess that would be the difference.
No, it's. But if he.
We measure from main front door of daycare or school the buffer distance to main front door of the retail business.
Yeah, if I recall, that was more.
I was like,
was able to.
No, it's very much on the border to shop to that pink line of that
Nick,
daycare.
Do you? Would you? Is there any? I mean, you're on here. You're invested in the community. Is there anything that you want to add or any questions that you have since you're on? If you're interested, you can come off mute. If not, that's okay. Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes?
If I could just offer one other comment on this, there's no reason the city has to suffer in silence. So the point being, oh, we're stuck with this, and it's something that becomes a condition that you're unhappy with, and it gets worse. I think the thinking is that this was one of those high watermark kind of legislative pushes, and there's going to be consistent and fairly steady pushback and an attempt to restrict from here on in. And I'm hearing that among other city attorneys, and that's what they're hearing from their cities as they're figuring this all out. If things don't work out right, the league is interested probably in leading some kind of revision or effort in revision. Future. So this isn't one of those things where, oh gosh, everything's going to go to heck, you know, because we can't do anything. I think that, you know, everybody can observe, police department can report, and that can go back to the legislature, hopefully mean that there would be additional restrictions and opportunities on a local level to do something. It's just you can't do that now.
So, yeah. All right, anything else? Oh, Kirsten.
How many more officers would you like to see on the department when these start opening?
We'd always love to have more officers. You know, to put a number on it's a little tough at this point to, you know, until we see what's going on. But we'd definitely like to add additional with this and obviously the growth of the city. So.
Wonderful.
With for a little while we had a grant for an officer for DUI enforcement. Is there anything like that the state's proposing for this?
No, I haven't heard of anything other than we have to do the one check each year per place. So.
There you go. Hey, Nick.
Hey.
Hey. Looks like you're still muted.
Hey, Nick.
Uh-oh.
You're still muted, Nick.
We can't hear you.
You're still muted. Looks like it's...
There we go. Are we good now? Am I good now?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Just very loud.
And so...
Okay, sorry about that. I was having technical difficulties.
Sure. Were you able to listen? I saw you were on during the discussion. Were you able to listen? Any questions you have or anything you need to add?
No, I think that I listening to the discussion about, you know, how the state has a majority of the control and kind of filtering out the applications or the applicants that come into the city, I think that that's understandable. I think that there's quite an alarming amount of applicants that did apply into the market to open up retail dispensaries. What a lot of people don't understand is that it's actually kind of based on the amount of population per city. So currently, right now in the state of Minnesota, given the amount of population that we have in Minnesota, that opens for a grand total of 394, roughly based on the total Minnesota population. And it does sound like a lot of cities don't fall within that amount, because I think it's 12,500 per to allow the city to have one per 12,500. I'm really hoping that, kind of given the atmosphere with the Office of Cannabis Management right now, I'm really hoping that the applications, especially for, businesses like me who did apply for that, will kind of start here soon from the sounds of it within probably the next month or so, will start to become reviewed. Me and my family did submit for ours. I want to be, especially with the city, I want to make sure that, transparency and compliance is the number one thing that me and my family really, truly aim for. We've been lifelong, me and my family here have lived in the city of Ramsey since I was born, and I'm now 32. It's been quite a while. But it is something that I do hope to some extent to see local businesses applying for it, especially ones that have roots and bases here in Ramsey. I understand that if applications do come in first, that the city has, I guess, a form of obligation to honor those. It does feel strange that, they said about if 9 applicants apply, what order do we look at? Who's going to get approved? Is it just the very first person that applies right away, who gets in right away and has a physical location picked out? And the other thing is, too, is that, just recently the zoning map was released and available for everybody to be able to take a look at. And, of course, most families and people that are going to be opening these, they don't have a location picked out yet, because why would I open up a location somewhere if I don't know if I'm going to get my license? From a business standpoint, it's a... poor move, yeah, I feel. Could be potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars. So that's where there's been a lot of confusion, because we have been technically selling low-dose THC products now in the city of Ramsey, in the core of Ramsey area, for the last, I think, almost 2 years now since the new laws came into effect. And prior to that, we were selling the hemp-based THC products just overall for over 5 years. Prior to that happening, and we have been through all the regulatory changes, and I truly feel like me and my family, especially with the relationship that we have with our city and our community, I feel like we would open a very high quality, transparent, and compliant dispensary. As it stands, it's kind of difficult waters understanding where people are going to fall in line as they apply. into this application. So I guess that more clarification on, you know, is it going to be a deal where when I get my application approved, if I come to the city with it and I say, you know, because I'm the first one applied, does that mean that I'm going to get one of the two spaces available? You know, so there is a bit of confusion there on our end. I've been trying to keep up with the laws and the regulations surrounding it. So we're keeping our ear to the ground, and we're checking every single day to make sure if our application is passed or not. This is something that me and my family are very passionate about, and we feel that we would do it responsibly in a way that would actually benefit the community, instead of just kind of like the others have said, of opening or having people that we don't even know coming into our town, which, you know, unfortunately, the regulations from the state level have made it to where cities can't filter out applications. Because just because somebody has enough money to pay somebody to fill out an application and get it submitted doesn't mean that they're going to be potentially a good person for the city. I've seen that on multiple cases in other states where I've been into dispensaries where, you know, there definitely are tier lists to quality of the dispensaries that are opening. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, some of the places that I've been to have been kind of harsh or uninviting, or they're not very educated, where education is everything that me and my family and my team are sore on.
I guess
is there, in regards to the licensing, is there any, for when we go to submit, is there like, because you said that they're going to be more so, not like licensing it, but it's not like the tobacco and the liquor stores, it's going to be a thing where the city almost kind of signs off of it and approves a license, is that correct?
What will happen is the state actually just will notify us that you've submitted your license to them, and if they're, they'll give us a piece of paper. It's literally almost like a zoning verification letter, given to staff for us to fill out, and we have to send it back to them saying that, yes, you can be in this location, or no, you can't be in this location. And we have 30 days to finish that paperwork and get it back to the state.
And the yes or no, whether you can be there, is strictly about the zoning.
It all has to do with zoning.
If they mean the zoning. That's it. Okay.
So as long as we did, because I think attached to this, to the link and the page that I got sent, there was something that was talking about. It was the zoning map showing the areas that it's applicable. So as long as we get a physical address in the areas that the zoning is correct, and we have our application, we should be good to go.
That is correct.
Okay, perfect.
As long as that location is willing to host that operation, right?
Yes.
So if you're working with a landlord that says no, then the city can't overrule them?
No, we can't. No.
Okay, so it has to be somebody, it's got to be a location that's that falls in the proper zoning. And then obviously the location has to agree to it if it's a rental. But if it's they're purchasing the land, then it's fine.
That's correct.
It's owned properly, okay.
Mr. Mayor, there's some good faith exchanging of ideas and positions here, but I think that it's important for this individual to understand that he needs separate legal advice, and what he isn't being offered here is legal advice. You don't want to get him in a position where he's relied on all this, and all of a sudden he's saying, but Stephanie told me.
Yeah.
Front of everybody else, X.
You need he's
not. He knows. So if you don't mind, I want to...
Important disclaimer.
All right, thanks.
I appreciate that. All right, thanks, Nick. I have a... You can hang on, listen. I have maybe one more question for city staff.
Oh, great. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nick.
Have a great night.
So good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Take care.
Thanks. There's no avenue of, like, doing an RFP, right? We can't do, like, an RFP for this, which allow us to have some controls and grading criteria. Do I have your wheels turning?
The quick answer is no.
Okay.
Just because it offers the city some discretion, and there's no discretion in this ordinance or in this statute at all. Some cities seem to be trying to edge that way by gaining their own licenses and figuring, well, if we've got our license, at least we're going to be able to exercise some control that way.
But then there would be two more. There,
that guarantees another, because it doesn't count towards the total number of the municipal license, from what I've heard.
That's correct.
That is correct. So you'd end up with
three or four. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? All right. I think we are all more aware of what's coming, so I appreciate the staff's willingness to put this together and our city attorney for keeping us out of trouble. All right. Next, those disclaimers are important.
You try it.
That's why he's here. Next item, number two, discuss the format of the city administrator's upcoming performance evaluation.
Related yet not.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. This is this case, and the reason for it coming forward right now is just to get a little bit ahead of Brian Hagan's annual performance review, which is in June or late June, and literally to talk about the software, the vendor that we use, to see if what is currently being done and has been done since 2016 is meeting the city council's needs. So currently we go through a vendor called Checkpoint 360. It's been in place, like I said, since 2016. The beauty of it, what is very nice for staff, is that it's hands-off. I don't have to manipulate data. I don't have to make charts. I don't have to correct spelling errors, nothing. And I can't, and I like that. Prior to 2016, I was doing a lot of manual work with SurveyMonkey data and trying to make graphs and so forth, and that was, it wasn't a good value for the city for me to spend my time that way, and I didn't feel comfortable doing it for my boss. So just looking for feedback now to say, is this okay? Is it meeting your needs? Do you want us to look at something more specific to local government, such as I mentioned in the case, which I haven't dug deep into yet because I wanted to know if it's worth my time or not, to look at other vendors. Is there more things that are more important than others? Is it important for you to be able to make written comments? Previously, not a lot of written comments came through. It was a lot of like radial buttons where you would select your rating for the different core competencies. And I guess I should back up and say that the system that we use, it's based on 8 universal management competencies, which is communication, leadership, adaptability, relationships, task management, production, developing of others, and personal development. And then along with those core competencies, there are 18 skill sets built into that that end up getting rated. And then the people that rate the city administrator are himself, the city council. Under this method or this vendor, the city council is referred to as peers because this particular vendor can only support 3 bosses. And, of course, there are 7. And then direct reports comment as well. So with that, I'll just wait for your feedback on what you'd like to see happen.
Dan and Shanna.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Does the league have any, I guess I should have checked their site, but do they have any guidance or do they have vendors that have worked well for other, you know, cities?
The league?
Yeah.
No, the league specifically doesn't have a recommendation. ICMA, which is the International County and City Manager Group, they have evaluations that have passed their criteria for programs that they offer. Brian has a colleague that has used one of them that had good luck with one of them. It's a whole gamut of what can be done. So, but to answer your question, no, the league does not have a recommendation.
Shannon?
Thank you. So, Colleen, what I understand you just said that we've been working with the 360 point, but you would like to look into these other ones, but you haven't done any homework yet, or do you have... ones that are kind of on your hit list that you're like...
There's a couple that just have been recommended at a very high level that I haven't contacted them yet. I haven't checked into pricing on it. This particular one is $460 a month.
A month?
A year.
Okay. I'm checking, just trying. I'm like,
it's $460 a time.
Okay.
So, yes, and so as I wrote in the case, if the council's interested in looking at something else, I can dig deeper. We have time. I can bring back a couple more samples.
And then you said that you haven't done a lot of writing back, like not a lot of written in. Now, is there places in the 360 for writing in?
Yeah, there's, so I won't pass it around or anything, but the last time Brian had a review, there are 7 city council members and 7 direct reports and Brian himself. So that's 15 people, right, that could make comments. And in all, it took up this much space.
Okay.
I can't make comments.
Oh, you can't make comments. I'm sorry. So 14 people can make comments.
Well, that's different.
but with that said, the results were very, very favorable. Had they not been, maybe there would have been more comments.
Kirsten and then Michael.
I think 100% the discretion should go to you on what you think would work best. That's my opinion, and not that this matters at this juncture, but I think Brian's an incredible city administrator, and we're really blessed to have him. So whatever is going to work best for him to be able to hear his feedback and be able to participate in his feedback, I think is also best. So,
Michael?
Well, thank you. I was just going to say, what is your opinion of 360? Do you feel like you would like a change, or?
So I've been waiting for that question, and honestly, change creates a little bit extra work, but I am up for it. This company has gotten a little bit lazy for me, been a little less responsive, and I would be really interested in seeing what some of these ICMA programs maybe have to offer.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I definitely agree. I think Brian has always said, I can't say what he said, but his results have been consistent, I think, and it might be good to get a new perspective and new ways to judge some of the different roles and hear different feedback. I definitely think it's important to have a place for comments, even if people don't necessarily use them, because I think that can add value. So as long as a new place had a place for comments, I think that'd be great. But, I definitely trust your judgment on that as well. But if there's one that's worked well in other cities, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I would say, I'll say this, and we'll see if we have consensus, but I encourage you to look into other softwares that may serve the same function, and as long as they're around the same price, I think you have discretion to move forward and find something that works. I don't know, is that...
I'm good with that.
You're
good.
Cool.
Thank you.
I don't know, you won't, but I guess cost within reason. You're like, I fly to Hawaii, and there's a great one. No.
Yes, I have to go to Hawaii and check out this.
Yeah,
event.
Check this out.
They're flying me out there. They're paying for everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll chaperone you, Colleen.
Okay. All right. Group effort.
Yeah, since we're Brian's peers, there seems to be a pay discretion.
Where's our city attorney to bail us out of this one?
On the seat up front.
All right. Last item, quarterly updates on outside committees.
All right. Councilor Buescher and Riley. Riley's absent this evening, obviously, but brought forward the idea to have updates from council members or staff. I added that in on kind of the outside committees. Some of the examples are like JLEC, there's the Fire Protection Council, QCTV, kind of lower rung boards like that you know, their actions, decisions aren't really recommendations that come back through the city council, like our planning commission, things like that. Councilor Buescher may be a little off on that, but, you know, at least from the city boards and commission standpoint, they're all set up to be advisory boards, so you guys are eventually seeing their actions anyways, or at least the vast majority of them. So I think that was more the intent, was the other ones that we're not necessarily hearing routine updates from. I guess I'll turn it over for any further thoughts you had.
Well, that's accurate. I think I noted in the case that the discussion would be had during, like, the council meeting itself, and I don't know if it needs to go to that length. Maybe we can discuss it just, like, in a work session, and then if people feel that there was something that was pertinent to the greater community hearing, we could bring it to the council meeting. Chris and I just thought that it would be nice for folks to hear more about the work that we're doing outside of this room that kind of spans the county overall or what have you, if there's anything that seems to touch our city. So we can have a better way of working with those groups and see if there's anything that's helping us, especially when I think about like JLEC. We obviously have a lot going on in JLEC right now that will impact our police department with the communication sides and the radios and things of that nature. And, you know, whether it's best served, you know, for Ryan or myself to report on JLEC or for our police department to report, I think it's just interesting and important for us to know what's kind of going on.
Do you think adding, like, mayor, staff, council input, mayor, staff, council, / committee report input? Are you saying just, like, are you looking to house a part of the agenda where we just do a quick little update? What do you want to say, Michael?
Like, within the work session?
Yeah, do you want to add a recap?
Yeah, like 5 minutes. I don't even know if we would need to do it like every, you know, quarterly, because JLEC meets quarterly, the fire council meets quarterly. I'm not sure how often the watershed and the QCT, is QCTV quarterly?
I don't really know. It switches. We keep, like, have fewer and fewer meetings all the time. I missed the last one, but I think it's like every 2-3 months now.
Every other month.
Yeah.
Could be quarterly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and 5 minutes,
it's changing.
Day.
That's why I don't know. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm very much in favor of this idea. Frankly, I kind of wondered why it wasn't in place before. But I think work session is the best venue for it.
Sure.
And I think just a spot on the agenda that says, does anybody have an update from a recent thing? We don't need to make it
formal. Just add it as a topic of future discussion once a quarter.
Yeah, or I mean, we could do it. You could do it every meeting. Just say, does anybody have any updates? Yeah, let's move on.
Sorry, I said future topics of discussion. Yeah, once a month. Yep. Everybody okay with that?
Yeah, I don't know if that's once a month, but I mean, I guess we could start with that, and if there's no big updates, maybe.
About every other month.
It's fine.
That will cap.
I do see the benefit too of the public scene.
I'm sorry.
You're so good.
You know what? What QCTV does, or Laurel Rum, or the joint law enforcement groups and stuff as well. So, I could see at the end of our meetings just to do that once a month as well, but every other month.
So every other month, could we make a note to add outside? What was it? Outside committee reports as a topic of discussion every other month.
You want topic or just under the mayor council staff?
We can under the mayor council. Then it's less of a case and more of a discussion. Everybody good with that?
Yep.
That sounds good. All right. And then
is this going to be council led? Do you want it staff?
I think council led is fine.
Okay.
I think it should just be, hey, last month, this is what we were talking about, and these are some of the initiatives in the committee that I'm part of, right? We're just looking for a friendly update to each other.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Make sure you put friendly on there.
Yeah. I know, like, Logis, I think that's just a staff member, so we'll make sure that comes back, but.
Okay. All right. On to future topics.
In the packet is, again, we always try to put the best known dates that we think stuff will come forward. So next meeting, we'll go through the draft strategic plan and remind me if I sent that out to you guys yet or not. Otherwise, I'll look tomorrow and make sure it gets sent out. We got everything kind of typed up, sent it out to staff. They're going to review it with their departments and see what other action items could be added to help accomplish those strategies. And then the other thing that we have, I think that will come back to May 13th, is the continued discussion on the North Star commuter rail. We have a meeting set up with staff and Metro Transit to just talk about early concerns, questions, kind of an open discussion as they start to build what the bus service line looks like and the transition plan. So I'd like to get that meeting done. We're going to have it next Monday. And then we'll come back to council with that information and see if there's any further direction. We very briefly talked about it when we really didn't know anything yet.
Would it be inappropriate just to mention, hey, Metro Mobility would be cool to have since
we're working on that. Okay. I was told that that's just a state budget operation issue now versus a actual law change, but I don't know. But that is in the back of my mind of making sure that Nugget gets dropped through this as well. So far our feedback has been, we want public transportation to remain in Ramsey. Baseline would be the level of service that commuter rail was pre-pandemic, if not better. We did have an informational meeting, all the cities with transit stops in the city, along with Anoka and Sherburne County, and heard a little bit of feedback that, as they work through the discontinuation of this BNSF and the way the agreement is written, is get everything out of the right of way. A couple different cities, including myself, said, well, wait, we don't know if we want that. There's existing infrastructure that we might want to add on to. So that'll be all part of the feedback that they want to hear from us on, the existing infrastructure, how we see future use of that, the bus service, things like that. So we'll get some additional questions answered and bring that back and give them a more formal final response. They are holding public input through online survey as well as some in-person options. So we've shared that on social media. Feel free to find that and answer if you wish to. Otherwise, generally speaking, it sounds like they're targeting sometime late this year to have bus service in place. So the writing continues to remain on the wall that the commuter train is going to go away. But we'll see what it looks like in the end. I think that's it for two known ones. Like tonight, again, we're finishing a little early, so we try to maximize it. Trying to maximize the work session, but not overfill the agenda either. Budget is going to start in July. Newer council members, if you guys want to come in and ask a whole bunch of questions ahead of time, please do. We'll get you as up to speed as you can.
I like how you don't want us to leave out the new guys.
You can too, but I figured the seasoned veterans are ready to go.
All right. Well, thank you. Anything else on that? If not, Mayor, Council, staff input. Any input? Hearing none, we will adjourn. Thank you.